$8 million to convince Missourians that an amendment to the Constitution is good for them. Maybe because it's not. Don't be bought.
That's the voice of Kurt Warner, former quarterback for our team here, the Rams, and now the Arizona Cardinals, in an ad that will air tonight during the World Series here in Missouri. He's among several sports and media people who will appear in that ad, urging Missourians to vote against Amendment 2. We're going to be listening to that ad piece by piece, and then it's in entirety here in the first half hour, Hour of Issues, etc. We're going to talk about this new anti-Amendment 2 ad featuring endorsements from sports and entertainment celebrities. We'll also have a CNN story on what some people thought got it all started, but in fact, the advocates of the producers of this ad said this ad was in the works before Michael J. Fox's endorsement of several U.S. Senate candidates aired during the World Series in Game 1, I believe. And we'll also hear a CNN report on the trial of yet another polygamist, this one, yes, connected to Warren Jeffs, who was recently apprehended by the FBI for charges of not only polygamy, but also of statutory rape and facilitating statutory rape. At about 3:45, we're going to talk about the gay marriage ruling this afternoon by the New Jersey Supreme Court. That story came down just less than an hour ago. Jan LaRue of Concerned Women for America will be our guest for a few minutes to talk about that. We'll round off the rest of the hour with audio open lines for your questions and your comments. Then in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., a sermon review. Pastor David Peterson is a regular guest here on the program, but he also serves as pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Preaches a sermon on Matthew 22, beginning at 34th verse, Jesus, summation of the Ten Commandments. We'll review that sermon in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. And then, what are we doing at 4:30? There's a huge gap in my Mark Sell. Good old Mark Sell will join us. He's just returned from Africa, where he's been working on two very important issues. We'll discuss them with him, starting about 4:20 on Issues, Etc. Then in the third hour of the program, Dr. Peter Scare. The church remembers three New Testament saints today, all three of them women, Dorcas, Lydia, Phoebe. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest to talk about those New Testament saints. And Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will round us off feeling warm and fuzzy in the last half hour. We're going to talk about love with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer in the last half hour. That'll get you all warmed up for a cold night in St. Louis. You go home feeling great when we talk about love. First, let's talk about the new anti-Amendment 2 ad. We've spent a lot of time on the anti-Amendment 2 ads that have come from Missourians Against Human Cloning. This one is actually going to be airing tonight during the, what is it now, the fourth game of the World Series here in Missouri. And it has been featured. If you were looking at the paper, you couldn't have missed the headline, Celebrities Make Their Pitch. Jeff Supan, who's going to be starting on the mound for the Cardinals tonight, will also appear in this ad. Celebrities make their pitch, high-profile figures take sides in showdown over stem cell amendment on the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Let's listen to it piece by piece. This is how the ad begins with pitcher, Cardinals pitcher Jeff Supan.
Amendment 2 claims it bans human cloning, but in the 2,000 words you won't read, it makes cloning a constitutional right. Don't be deceived.
Now, he's just the first who is, and you'll notice a theme that emerges here in this anti-Amendment 2 ad. He's just the first to address it. Don't be deceived seems to be the theme of this ad. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, it is Audio Open Lines. I want to know what you think about this ad. What do you expect it to do? In fact, let's see. The latest poll shows that the momentum is on the side of the opponents of Amendment 2, although a majority of Missourians still say that, or a plurality of Missourians still say that they'll be voting for Amendment 2. It seems to be moving opposite that direction. Next in this ad that you'll see tonight during the World Series, former Rams quarterback Kurt Warner.
Californians agreed to spend $6 billion on the exact same science. Now they admit there won't be any cures for at least 15 years. Same science, $6 billion, no cures. Beware of loopholes. Missourians will pay. Don't be tricked.
Now, the first was don't be deceived. Then there's don't be tricked. And that's less than half of this ad that you'll see tonight on television. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And a little bit later, we're going to hear the whole ad in its entirety, but we want you to hear it piece by piece, each of the cases being made here by these sports figures and a little bit later, a celebrity, the Patricia Heaton, who is the star of one of the stars of Everybody Loves Raymond. And later we'll play a CNN story on Michael J. Fox's endorsement of several U.S. Senate candidates that, in the case of Missouri, mentioned stem cell research in Amendment 2. Next in this ad, Patricia Heaton of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Amendment 2 actually makes it a constitutional right for fertility clinics to pay women for eggs. Low-income women will be seduced by big checks, and extracting donor eggs is an extremely complicated, dangerous, and painful procedure.
Now, in the case of the Michael J. Fox ad, people were watching this. If you saw it, it's a painful thing to watch. Michael J. Fox is swaying and writhing around because of the Parkinson's, the symptoms, displaying the symptoms of his Parkinson's, and he's urging Missourians to support the senatorial candidate who would want to, as in his words, expand stem cell research. You watch this, it's hard not to be moved. What about this other ad that will play tonight during the World Series? How effective do you think it will be in convincing Missourians to vote against Amendment 2? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It is, we're coming to you live, by the way, this Wednesday, the 25th of October. Next in the ad that you'll see tonight, Kansas City Royals first baseman Mark Sweeney.
25 women have died, and 6,000 have complained of complications. Missouri, don't be fooled.
Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. And since Kurt Warner, while he no longer resides in Missouri, was for a long time a big sports star here, he's also featured twice in this ad. He has something more to say.
Why does it cost $28 million to convince Missourians that an amendment to the Constitution is good for them? Maybe because it's not. Don't be bought.
Do you think this ad will be effective in convincing the undecided that are now measuring at 18%, at least according to the latest Survey USA poll that was released yesterday? 45% of Missouri voters say that they plan to vote for Amendment 2, 36% say that they will vote against Amendment 2, but 18% of Missouri voters polled as of Tuesday say they're undecided. That will swing it. If those undecided become decided against Amendment 2, it will not pass. Do you think that this ad will be effective? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Finally, Jim Caviezel, who starred as Jesus in Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ.
You know now. Don't do it. Vote no on two.
All right, there are the pieces of the ad. I want to hear from you. Do you think this will be effective among the undecided, now being counted at 18% of Missouri voters who have not yet made up their mind what they're going to do with Amendment 2 in less than 2 weeks when they go to vote? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's hear the entire ad as you'll hear it tonight during the World Series.
Amendment 2 claims it bans human cloning, but in the 2,000 words you won't read, it makes cloning a constitutional right. Don't be deceived.
Californians agree to spend $6 billion on the exact same science. Now they admit there won't be any cures for at least 15 years. Same science, $6 billion, no cures. Beware of loopholes. Missourians will pay. Don't be tricked.
Amendment 2 actually makes it a constitutional right for fertility clinics to pay women for eggs. Low-income women will be seduced by big checks, and extracting donor eggs is an extremely complicated, dangerous, and painful procedure.
25 women have died, and 6,000 have complained of complications. Missouri, don't be fooled.
Why does it cost $28 million to convince Missourians that an amendment to the Constitution is good for them? Maybe because it's not. Don't be bought.
You know now. Don't do it.
Vote no on two.
All right, I want to hear from you. That ad is going to air tonight during the World Series here in Missouri. It features some pretty big stars, including the starting pitcher tonight for the Cards during the World Series. How effective do you think it will be? People will be watching. There's no doubt about it. It will get as much press, I imagine, as Michael J. Fox ad that ran in favor of Claire McCaskill and in favor of Amendment 2 by way of extension a couple days ago. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address coming to you live this Wednesday on the 25th of October, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's a bit of a story about the way that the numbers are trending in Missouri. A new poll shows that support for Amendment 2 is dropping. The level of support has dropped from a more than 2-to-1 margin to less than 10%, according to a Survey USA poll Tuesday. 45% of Missouri voters say that they plan to vote for Amendment 2. That's down, by the way, from 57% just a couple weeks ago. 36% will vote against it. That is up from 27% a couple weeks ago. And 18% of Missouri voters say that they're undecided on Amendment 2. That is 2% more undecided than a couple of weeks ago when a similar survey was taken. So the trend, and this is what they watch, I guess, in polls, is as you get closer to elections, whether it's for candidates or for issues or in this case for Amendment 2, they watch the direction that the poll is trending rather than the ultimate numbers, because no one knows until the last minute how people will decide. So it's trending in favor of sending Amendment 2 down in flames, but it will be, if it is, it will have to be an effort all the way to the very end. This ad that we've been talking about here is one of those efforts. Do you think it'll be effective? Does it make a difference if you put yourself again in the position of someone who is undecided on Amendment 2? Do you think it'll make any difference? Especially as it is being contrasted in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or in the case of the national media with the ad that was run for Claire McCaskill by Michael J. Fox, a Parkinson's victim, another celebrity, saying that, look, Missouri voters need to be voting for stem cell research. He didn't use the word embryonic stem cell research, but stem cell research. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. While we wait for your calls, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month is for the kids this time. We like to have at least one, perhaps several, children's books every year during our 12 Issues Etc. Books of the Month. And for October, it's one called The Apostles' Creed. It's a picture book that teaches the Apostles' Creed and the doctrine of the Trinity found in the Apostles' Creed. Beautifully illustrated. Great Christmas gift for your kids or your grandkids. It's $9.99 plus shipping and handling. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House. Today, during regular business hours, any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or, again, our website address, issuesetc.org. One thing of note in these, the polling data is going on Amendment 2. The one age category that consistently opposes Amendment 2 among Missouri voters, what would you think? Would you think it would be the people who are younger, people who are older? The one age category of Missouri residents likely to vote who oppose Amendment 2 and plan to vote against it is the age category 35 through 49. That includes me. That is the tail end of the baby boom generation and the beginning of, I think it would be, Generation X. While all other age ranges favor the initiative, younger and older. Well, of course, all the flap over celebrity ads for and against Amendment 2 began a couple days ago with the ad recorded by Michael J. Fox, not only for Claire McCaskill, who's running for Senate here in Missouri, but for several other senatorial candidates through in several other states. It was pretty much the same ad that he talked about. Here's the CNN story on Michael J. Fox's endorsement of several U.S. Senate candidates.
We've seen him before campaigning on behalf of stem cell research, but this year television viewers could clearly see the toll Parkinson's disease has taken on Michael J. Fox.
They say all politics is local, but it's not always the case. What you do in Missouri matters to millions of Americans, Americans like me.
Fox is campaigning for Missouri U.S. Senate candidate and Democrat Claire McCaskill. In the ad, Fox urges voters not to support Republican Senator Jim Talent.
Unfortunately, Senator Jim Talent opposes expanding stem cell research.
Fox did similar ads for Democrats in Wisconsin and Maryland. It drew a strongly delivered response from conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh, who on his nationally syndicated show called into question why Fox was shaking so much.
This is really shameless, folks. This is really shameless of Michael J. Fox. Either he didn't take his medication or he's acting, one of the two.
In Illinois, Tuesday, Fox made a reference to Limbaugh's comments during a campaign stop for Democrat Tammy Duckworth, who's running for Congress.
I'm kind of lucky right now. It's ironic, given some things have been said in the last couple of days, that my pills are working really well right now.
Some conservatives who oppose embryonic stem cell research don't agree with the way Limbaugh handled it.
I don't think Republicans are going to be hurt because one talk show host, however influential, said something foolish, although it wasn't helpful. I think the key thing that Republicans are going to have to do is explain that these ads oversimplify the issues.
Embryonic stem cell research has gained much attention in Missouri because there's a state ballot initiative that basically supports stem cell research and any therapies that come of it. Proponents of the initiative have spent nearly $3 million in advertising, compared to the $111,000 from the opposition. Still, there's competition on the airwaves from groups who have their own message.
Embryonic stem cell research will require millions of eggs, and women will pay a terrible price.
We should note Rush Limbaugh did offer an apology, saying, "Now people are telling me they have seen Michael J. Fox in interviews, and he does appear the same way in the interviews as he does in this commercial." All right, then. I stand corrected. So I will bigly, hugely admit that I was wrong, and I will apologize to Michael J. Fox if I am wrong in characterizing his behavior on this commercial as an act. After his apology, Limbaugh went on to say, "Michael J. Fox is allowing his illness to be exploited and in the process is shilling for a Democratic politician."
Okay. I got to respond to the last part of that just briefly, purely my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. If someone has Parkinson's, and they would, I think they should have, but they didn't, if they wanted to put a Parkinson's victim on showing the symptoms of Parkinson's, displaying them, whether it's through not taking your medication or just, you know, I know people with Parkinson's and the medication is the trickiest part of the disease. You just never know what's going to happen. But if they wanted to show an opponent of Amendment 2 displaying the symptoms of Parkinson's and saying, "I suffer from Parkinson's and I'm voting against Amendment 2, we'd probably all be clapping the opponent's Amendment 2. We'd say, "Oh, that's a brilliant idea. That's a good idea." So I'm not going to fault Michael J. Fox for, although I completely disagree with him, I'm not going to fault him for recording ads and saying that he wants to see stem cell research put forth while displaying the symptoms of his disease. I'm one of those who've seen him in other interviews, and in the course of the interview, you can watch him, his ability to control his movements deteriorate by the minute. And in that case, he's not different from any other victim of Parkinson's disease. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines on this Wednesday, October the 25th. I want to hear from you on this new anti-Amendment 2 ad that features sports and media celebrities and Michael J. Fox's endorsement of several Senate candidates throughout the country. But in the case of the Missouri endorsement, presenting himself as one who is in need of the cures that Missourians should be voting for in Amendment 2. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk to Matilda calling in St. Peter's. Hi, Matilda.
Hello, Todd.
Hi.
I just hope that voters keep in mind that if this amendment does pass, it can never be changed. And that's the scary part about it.
The only way it can be changed, Matilda, would be to amend the Constitution yet again, which is a very difficult process. And as we've seen from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, apparently an extremely expensive one, too. But it could be, we could amend the Constitution again and overturn that amendment. It's been done at state level and federal level. The problem is, in the meantime, it literally ties the hands of the legislature. They cannot do anything at all to regulate embryonic stem cell research in Missouri if it passes. Jean calls from her car. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Pastor. I wanted to maybe clarify something that I had heard Rush Limbaugh say later in his program, is that what he thought shameful of Michael J. Fox was that he was putting his disease out there for a Democrat candidate, not for the disease itself and for fighting the disease and for Amendment 2 or whatever that is called. It was more, he said if he was doing that just for the amendment, it'd be one thing, but he is actually out there for McCaskill, which he said was shameless. So I don't know if that helps clarify a little bit.
Okay, it does. I did not hear Limbaugh say that, so I don't know exactly what he did say. Well, look, I mean, if Michael J. Fox didn't have Parkinson's, and he was just there on the force of his good looks and charm and fame, he'd still be using something about himself to endorse a candidate. And that's what an endorsement is. An endorsement is somebody has something that they bring to the table that people say, wow, they're voting for him, or they would vote for him or her. Maybe I will too. Now, if celebrities can endorse on the basis of their good looks or their fame or their money or whatever, because he has Parkinson's, again, I can't find myself faulting him for displaying the symptoms of his Parkinson's, even if he's just endorsing candidates. Eric in Olathe, Kansas writes this: it seems as though the anti-Amendment 2 effort is making good progress as a whole. That's very encouraging, writes Eric. Education is really the key. What do you think will happen if Amendment 2 is defeated? That's a great question. Will there be an effort to get SCNT, that is somatic cell nuclear transfer, or the process by which human beings would be cloned, and embryonic stem cell research outlawed in the Constitution? Or are we going through this debacle, every 2 years? That's a good question, Eric. Okay, first of all, what would happen if Amendment 2 is defeated? You know what would happen if Amendment 2 is defeated? Embryonic stem cell research would still be legal in Missouri. That's what the proponents of the amendment aren't telling you. What they're not telling you is that embryonic stem cell research is already legal in Missouri. It's not illegal. It's already legal. You know what it isn't? Funded. It's legal, but no one wants to pay for it. Not private money. Or few want to pay for it. Why doesn't the Stowers Institute, who's funding all this stuff for Amendment 2, put that money into embryonic stem cell research? $28 million. That's private money, if it's a good investment. It's not government funded. It is legal. And guess what? If Amendment 2 goes down, it will still be legal. But if Amendment 2 goes down, the legislature will be able to decide whether it should or shouldn't be legal. If Amendment 2 passes, no one will be able to decide that anymore. We'll be right back. More of your calls after this break.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories. They don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
The abortion advocacy group NARAL, or the National Abortion Rights Action League, recently raided the nation on its views and laws on abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
NARAL gave the nation as a whole a grade of D- for its abortion laws and policies. NARAL doesn't explain the reasons for the grade, but does state that the president has emboldened pro-life activists. We'll take that as a compliment. This affirms what the polls have continuously told us, that America is a pro-life country, opposes most abortions, and wants stricter laws on abortion than what is currently in place.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Is it just me, or do you also get tired of hearing everyone spout their opinion? My wife Diane was an elected official in our town of Collinsville, and occasionally they had something called the Open Forum, a time when citizens came and spoke to the council about whatever was on their mind. There were some useful speeches made, of course. But there were people who dependably got up to blabber without thinking. As Diane was getting ready to go to one of these open forums, she smiled and said, "Everyone's entitled to my opinion." We all know people who live by that motto, "Everyone's entitled to my opinion." But do you, do I, sometimes operate that way, talking without thinking? The topic is guarding our tongues. The poet Johann Hermann put that challenge in the form of a prayer. "Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Guard me, lest idle speech may from my lips be falling. But when, within my place, I must and I ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak." I'm Dale Meyer, and I thank you for thinking before you talk today. I'll try and do the same.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work. We work with a purpose.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines in about 10 minutes. We'll be talking with Jan LaRue of Concerned Women for America. She's going to join us for just a minute or two to talk about the New Jersey Supreme Court's decision that took place mere hours ago that opens the door for the Missouri legislature, the New Jersey legislature, to make up its mind on whether New Jersey will be the second state in the union to have full-blown gay marriage or merely civil unions. But the Supreme Court there in New Jersey said it's got to be one or the other. It's up for the legislature to decide. Let's go back to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, talking about the Michael J. Fox ad that aired during the World Series and the anti-amendment to ad featuring some celebrities and some sports stars, including the starting pitcher for the Cardinals tonight, against Amendment 2. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, as Eric did in the last segment, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Lael calls from her car. Hi, Lael.
Hi, Pastor. Gee, I hope I and pray I can guard my mouth after...
After Dr. Meyer's admonition there, yes.
Right. the thing that I'm concerned about... We're all upset that people have Parkinson, and to see him, it's sad to see people with Parkinson and stuff, people with cancer and everything. But it's kind of like they're focusing their whole cure in this particular method or means when your adult stem cells are so valuable and so successful. So I find it kind of why is he putting all his eggs in one basket?
Well, you know? I don't know that Michael J. Fox himself is putting all his eggs in one basket, but the ad does distinctly give the impression, doesn't it, that the cure lies with embryonic stem cell research, and that if we don't pursue this as Missourians, somehow the cure will not be found, or somehow there's a cure waiting in the wings, and all we got to do is pass this constitutional amendment, and bingo bango, people like Michael J. Fox will be cured. It gives that impression, when of course there is no cure waiting in the wings yet for Parkinson's, given any means, and there's no guarantee that embryonic stem cell research will lead to one. And you're right, the more promising research is with adult stem cells. Matt calls from Florida. Matt, thank you for listening down there. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's big for us down here in Florida too. We're watching this because apparently they're going to try and go this route down here. There's a lot of rumblings going on about this. It's a couple of things here. I think that the ad that they put out would have been better had they not put Michael J. Fox in there. They'd have chose anybody else, because when you do that, it comes across as disingenuous, don't you think? It's, you know, everybody knows Michael J. Fox, so everybody's going to feel bad for Michael J. Fox.
Hang on here, Matt. I don't know. I think it might split 50-50. There are going to be half the people who say, that poor man, and look how bravely he is facing his disease, and why deny him even the possibility of a cure? And I think the other half are going to say, oh, come on. They're blatantly trying to manipulate us.
Yeah, I fall on that side.
And I think probably the opponents of Amendment 2, I fall on that side, but it's hard not to feel sorry for him and to admire the fact that he's a young man facing a terrible disease with an awful lot of nobility and dignity. Thank you very much, Matt. All right, let's hear this new anti-amendment to ad that features Jeff Supon, Kurt Warner, Patricia Heaton, and at the very end with the tag, also Mark Sweeney, who plays for the Royals, and then at the very end with the little tag, Jim Caviezel.
Amendment 2 claims it bans human cloning, but in the 2,000 words you won't read, it makes cloning a constitutional right. Don't be deceived.
Californians agree to spend $6 billion on the exact same science. Now they admit there won't be any cures for at least 15 years. Same science, $6 billion, no cures. Beware of loopholes. Missourians will pay. Don't be tricked.
Amendment 2 actually makes it a constitutional right for fertility clinics to pay women for eggs. Low-income women will be seduced by big checks, and extracting donor eggs is an extremely complicated, dangerous, and painful procedure.
25 women have died, and 6,000 have complained of complications. Missouri, don't be fooled.
Why does it cost $28 million to convince Missourians that an amendment to the Constitution is good for them? Maybe because it's not. Don't be bought.
You know now. Don't do it. Vote no on 2.
So here's my question for you. And Missourians see this ad tonight during the World Series. Do you think that this ad that you just heard will move voters against Amendment 2? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Roger, who calls from his car. Hi, Roger.
I had heard this on another radio station that there's a medical research hospital. I'm not sure exactly what they do or who they're associated with, but it's called Rush Research, and Michael J. Fox has contributed over $1.5 million to that group, and they've come up with what could be a cure or a slowdown for Parkinson's, which involves some gene therapy and injecting a virus into the brain, and then that virus triggers the production of the natural dopamine, and it's seems to have quite an effect on the people they've done it, but you never hear him talk about that. Now, that was an AP story that was put out on the 11th of October.
Now, from what you heard there, Roger, was that something that does not involve stem cells or embryonic stem cells, that cure?
Not at all. The way they described it was they drill, a neurosurgeon, of course, drills some holes in through your skull and injects this virus into your brain, and it stimulates the reaction that it produces the dopamine that will control or relieve the symptoms of his disease.
Okay, Roger, thank you very much. Well, you don't hear about that, although I'm not going to fault Michael J. Fox for that. You know, he is sincerely wrong on the embryonic stem cell research issue, but he's doing what any person of means would do. He's supporting every possible means of finding a cure for his and the disease that he suffers from and that others suffer from, too. If I were a big movie star, if I were in Michael J. Fox's shoes, then I would be supporting every possible ethical way of getting a cure to that disease. That's just one way. There are other methods that I've heard, that I've read about as well. As I say, I've got relatives with Parkinson's and all sorts of surgical and non-surgical ways that they're trying to get at this. The fact that we don't hear about it in the media may be due to the fact that right now, embryonic stem cell research sounds like the silver bullet. It's being presented like the silver bullet, isn't it? Even though there's nothing silver about it, and it doesn't seem to actually even be headed in the right direction. Okay, here's another question for you. If you are the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, the group that's behind Amendment 2, how would you respond to this new anti-amendment to add featuring sports and media celebrities? You got St. Louis's darling, the starting pitcher for the Cardinals tonight. They'll see him on the mound, hopefully doing well, and then they're going to see him in the ad. And if you're the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, you got to be saying, how did they get Jeff Supon? Or even an erstwhile sports celebrity of Missouri fame, Kurt Warner. How would you respond to it? There's still, at least in political terms, plenty of time between now and Election Day. Plenty of time to put ads together. What would you do? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's audio open lines. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. In just a few minutes, Jan LaRue is going to join us. The story has come down through the news just before we came on the air that the New Jersey Supreme Court has finally come up with a ruling on gay marriage in New Jersey. We'll find out exactly what that ruling entails in just a few minutes here on Issues Etc. In the second hour of the program, we're going to... after Jan LaRue, we will have a little bit more audio open lines. In the second hour of the program, we've got a sermon review. Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, preached a sermon last Sunday on Matthew 22, Jesus summarizing the Ten Commandments. We'll review that sermon in the first part of that second hour. At 4:30 or so, Pastor Mark Sell will join us. He's probably a little bit jet-lagged. He has just returned from Africa. He's executive director of Friends of Mercy. We'll find out what they're doing there in Africa. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Dr. Peter Scare joins us in the first half to talk about three New Testament saints, Dorcas, Lydia, and Phoebe. And in the last half hour, Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will leave us all feeling great. We'll talk about love, that warm and fuzzy feeling. But is there more to it than just warm and fuzzies? Jan LaRue is chief counsel for Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. She joins us to talk about the breaking news from New Jersey about the Supreme Court's decision on gay marriage in that state. Jan, thanks for joining us here on Issues Etc.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Some of the headlines say New Jersey court favors gay marriage. Others say New Jersey court stops short of gay marriage. Okay, what exactly did the New Jersey Supreme Court decide?
The court essentially mirrored what the Vermont Supreme Court did back in 1999 when it told the legislature in no uncertain terms to either grant the plaintiff same-sex marriage by statute or create some version of marriage with all the rights, benefits, and obligations, leaving the legislature free to name it. It's judicial tyranny. It violates the separation of powers mandated by the state's constitution. And it goes against two lower New Jersey Supreme Court, Superior and Appellate Court rulings on this same case.
Can you tell me, as an attorney, how is it that even the highest state court can tell the legislature what kind of a law it must write. Is that, it sounds unusual to me. Is it unusual?
Well, it, as I said, mirrors what the Vermont Supreme Court did, what the Massachusetts Supreme Court did, and it clearly violates the separation of powers. It's the province of the legislature to write law. Courts are limited to interpret law, and when the court starts ordering the legislature what to do, the people of the state have ceased to govern themselves. We the people becomes meaningless.
So what do you expect to happen in New Jersey if they have, what, a certain set amount of time to 180 days to come up with whatever it is the New Jersey Supreme Court is looking for? What do you expect to happen among the legislators?
Well, we know what's going to happen for certain, and that is they're going to create phony marriage. And even if they call it civil unions or domestic partnership rights, whatever they call it, it will mirror marriage because it will have the exact same rights, benefits, and obligations. It does not, under those circumstances, fully comply with everything homosexual activists want, but it will be an open door for couples. If they do create same-sex marriage, it will be an open door for couples from all of the other states to go to New Jersey, marry, go home, and then challenge their home state's marriage laws. So this should be a wake-up call to the voters in the eight states that have marriage amendments pending on the November 7 ballot. If they want to fortify their state's marriage law, they need to vote yes to put the protection of marriage in the state constitution.
So many states do have that protection of marriage by constitutional amendment. That happened, I think, in a lot of states in the last election cycle.
That's true. We now have 20 that have done so. And we have, as I said, the eight amendments pending.
Okay, then what about New Jersey? Does this Supreme Court decision make it impossible for New Jersey voters to push through a marriage amendment that could undo what the court has decided must be done there in that state?
Well, the people of New Jersey need to tell their legislature to stand up to this court and ignore it. It ought to be up to the people of New Jersey to define what marriage is rather than have it forced upon them by unelected judges who are violating the state constitution by their order.
The one of the quotes near the end of the story that I'm looking at here says that New Jersey is simply a stepping stone, that this is really not about New Jersey or about any particular state having gay marriage. What is the ultimate aim of these kind of court decisions and of those who continue to challenge marriage laws state by state?
New Jersey has no residency requirement, as does Massachusetts. So if the legislature caves in to this outrageous court ruling and creates same-sex marriage, as I mentioned, you will have same-sex couples from all the other states going to New Jersey to marry, going to their home state, and then filing suit against their home state to challenge the state's marriage law, to get that marriage recognized within their home state.
Two final questions. Does it really make any difference what the New Jersey legislature calls it when they finally, if they do, fail to stand up to the court and simply write a law permitting whatever it's called that the court is asking for?
It really doesn't matter because you will have the essential phony marriage that I already mentioned, and it will, you know, whatever you call it, it deconstructs marriage. It is marriage by another name. It will be forced upon businesses. You will find all kinds of adverse consequences flowing from such a statutory enablement.
And finally, what would a federal marriage amendment, amending the U.S. Constitution to protect marriage, what would that do to Massachusetts, New Jersey, Vermont?
Well, a federal marriage amendment is the strongest protection for marriage we can have, and that is because the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So it is why we at CWA have pressed Congress to start the process of amending the U.S. Constitution to protect marriage so that we aren't reacting to a federal court that might declare a state constitutional protection of marriage in violation of the U.S. Constitution.
CWFA.org is the website address for Concerned Women for America, CWFA.org. Jan LaRue is Chief Counsel of Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here, Jan.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, we'll round off this first hour of Issues Etc. today with another story. This one comes from CNN. We've been following the story of Warren Jeffs. Warren Jeffs has been apprehended by, he's the leader of an offshoot fundamentalist Mormon group that practices polygamy, and to a real grand scale. And we're talking about underage wives and multiple wives and many, many, many marriages under one roof. Well, Warren Jeffs was apprehended by the FBI, but there are other polygamists who are also on trial. Here's the story from CNN.
He is a follower of Warren Jeffs, the fundamentalist polygamist leader now being held in jail.
Mr. Bateman, anything you'd like to say today? Did you take a 17-year-old girl as a wife when you were in your 40s?
David Bateman, like the man considered a prophet by the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints Church, Warren Jeffs, is in legal trouble, and prosecutors want him behind bars.
The reason we're all here today is that this man, seated right over here, David Romaine Bateman, at the time he was 44 years of age, had sexual intercourse with a 17-year-old girl named Midge Steed.
Midge Steed, who is now 22, is one of Bateman's two wives. She lives in Colorado City, Arizona, where prosecutors have not been able to find her to give her a subpoena to testify. And that's not surprising, because as we've learned firsthand, the estimated 10,000 members of the FLDS Church, mostly here on the Arizona-Utah border, are told to stay away from outsiders.
Can I ask you guys a quick question? I'm sorry to bother you. Can I ask you a quick question?
Any comment about that?
About it.
Without the alleged victim, this man became the star witness.
I have 59 siblings, brothers and sisters.
You were the 60th?
Pretty close.
Richard Holm is a former member of the church. He testified that people like David Bateman are often told by Warren Jeffs to marry minors.
He's considered the mouthpiece of God on the earth and considered as speaking for God in whatever he says, it's the final.
Jeffs has told followers he marries off those who God tells him to marry. And sometimes they have been underage girls to men they often don't know. Authorities say it's a perverse tradition, not a revelation from God.
Back at the time,
with family and friends of Bateman looking out in the courtroom, his attorney did not deny his client had sex with a minor in a marriage not recognized by the state. But the lawyer has the most interesting defense.
Because if you don't have evidence that the crime was committed in Arizona, then Arizona cannot prosecute the crime.
Jurors have been made aware that the Arizona-Utah state line runs right through the fundamentalist community.
So you're saying that this might have happened, but it could have happened in Utah right across the border.
Exactly right.
Bateman is one of eight FLDS members arrested on similar charges. Prosecutors say they want to spread the message that marrying minor girls in the name of religion is wrong. But prosecutors are up against a sect that teaches its members, including its children, that whomever the prophet chooses is right.
Is there a phrase for the young girls that they're taught to do something or particular or be a certain way?
Yes, keep sweet no matter what.
16 and 17-year-olds are allowed to get married in Arizona with parental consent. But the state says because this is a polygamous marriage, it's not an official marriage, and therefore consent is a moot point. The jury is expected to get this case sometime on Wednesday. Gary Tuchman, CNN, Kingman, Arizona.
Well, now that confuses me a little bit because, okay, it's not a valid marriage, therefore consent is not an issue. And because the girls are 16 and 17, apparently the age of consent for sexual relations must not violate the age of consent for sexual relations. Otherwise, we'd be talking about statutory rape. I did not know that the Utah and Arizona line ran through Warren Jeff's compound. That's really convenient, isn't it? Because you could, like, walk across the hall and not be committing a crime and walk across the to the other room on the other side of the hall and be committing the crime and having done exactly the same thing. That is a very interesting defense. You actually get down to which room in the compound the alleged misdeeds took place, depending on which state you actually reside in. Now, those of you who look at something like this, this is bizarre. I mean, Warren Jeff's compound with all of his followers, their beliefs about polygamy, however they are rooted, I don't even know if they're the traditional Mormon beliefs about polygamy. I suspect they probably are something close to it. That's bizarre. The fact that a man can testify that he is the 60th of 60 children from one father and who knows how many mothers and wives, that's bizarre. The fact that Warren Jeffs believes he hears from God on who to marry to whom, that's also bizarre. But the problem here is, the problem here, first and foremost, in my mind, is not even the issue of polygamy. Although polygamy and underage marriage, for some reason, always seem to go together. Maybe these guys who want multiple wives just like girls. And when they outgrow a wife, they find themselves another young girl to marry. That might have something to do with it. Maybe these men are, in fact, not just polygamists, but pedophiles. Otherwise, how do you explain underage marriage going along with polygamy almost every case, in almost every case you find it? That's the biggest issue. That's the first issue. The second one is, if, and for those of you who say, look, New Jersey, if they want to have gay marriage, live and let live. Let them do as they please. Who are we to say who can marry and who can't? I don't even have to make a slippery slope argument. The slippery slope argument is, if you allow gay marriage, then someone is going to try the same kind of legal shenanigans with polygamy. I don't even have to make that argument. There are already polygamists doing their dirty deeds and being tried for them. I don't think it's an issue of trying to draw a line between redefining marriage to include a man and a man and a woman and a woman to redefining marriage to include a man and underage girls. I think the line's already there, very clear for everyone to see. And if you want to redefine marriage to be something other than one man, one woman, then there's no logical reason why you shouldn't be able to redefine marriage to be anything other than one man and one woman. Once that door is open, say in the case of New Jersey, once that door is open, it's open. And you can't stop any definition from walking through. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House. Abraham has three visitors from heaven. We'll find out how we should teach that to our children tomorrow on the program. When we come back from this break, we're going to be reviewing a sermon by Pastor David Peterson on Jesus' summary of the Ten Commandments.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.